Well, welcome back to the table. And in our segment two, we do our Bible study, and we are here with our teacher, Connie Stample, and we're in the Gospel of Mark, where we have been for the last several weeks. And Connie, thank you so much for this. Today, we're talking about something very important, and that is why Jesus came.
Oh, definitely. And we're truly getting to the heart of Mark's Gospel, and this is an important lesson. So we're going to dive right in. Today's lesson is Mark chapter 10, verses 32 to 44. And what I will do first is I will read the section of scripture here, and then we'll go back and talk through what's going on. So verse 32, and they were on the road going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus was walking ahead of them, and they were amazed, and those who followed were afraid. And taking the 12 again, he began to tell them what was to happen to him, saying, see, we're going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him over to the Gentiles. And they will mock him and spit on him and flog him and kill him. And after 3 days, he will rise. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came up to him and said to him, teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you. And he said to them, what do you want me to do for you? And they said to him, grant us to sit one at your right hand and one at your left in your glory. Jesus said to them, you do not know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized? And they said to him, we are able. And Jesus said to them, the cup that I drink you will drink, and with the baptism with which I am baptized you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared. And when the 10 heard it, they began to be indignant at James and John. And Jesus called them to him, and he said to them, you know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. We here in this section are the third, starting in the beginning of this part in verse 32, we're finding that they're on the road going up to Jerusalem. And so we know throughout Mark, Jesus and his disciples have been on a journey. And then here we specifically find that they are on the way to Jerusalem. And Jerusalem is going to be where Jesus is going to suffer and die and then be raised again. And we find out that Jesus was walking ahead of them. And what a word picture, what a picture of what Jesus does, because he walks ahead and we follow. And throughout Mark's gospel, we find this several times where he's walking on to do what he does, and then we follow after him. And so we see this again in Mark a couple of times where Jesus also said that he was going on ahead of them to Galilee. He was going on ahead of them after his death and rising. And so, again, it just reminds us again that we are followers of Jesus. And then it says, and they were amazed, and those who followed were afraid. And I think really what the idea is that the disciples and the people following Jesus had already heard a couple of times he was going to Jerusalem to die. And so they were amazed at perhaps his steadfast determination to go to the place where he's going to die. And then it also says, and those who followed were afraid. And that makes sense also because they're, I think, still confused, and they're not quite understanding. They know there's danger ahead, and it just seems to be a very frightening time for them. But again, they are following Jesus, and he's leading the way. And then we find that Jesus, in this time, is also going to teach them some more. And he says, here it says, and taking the 12 again, meaning he's done this many times before, began to tell them what was going to happen to him. And here we have the third prediction that Jesus gives of his death. And this is the most specific. He goes into detail about what's going to happen. And so he's slowly teaching the disciples what's going to happen in Jerusalem in a very, very short time. And he's kind of giving them the information as they perhaps can absorb a little bit more of it. Because it says, saying, see, we are going up to Jerusalem. And I'll just mention the reason they keep saying going up to Jerusalem is because Jerusalem was actually higher in elevation than all the surrounding other country around it. It was kind of like in the mountains, and it was about 2,500 feet above sea level. And so the Jews always talked about going up because you're actually walking up to get there. And then it says, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the scribes, literally betrayed or handed over, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him over to the Gentiles. And so now we're getting some more details. It's going to be the religious leaders who betray him and condemn him and then want the Gentile rulers to be the ones who kill him. And it says, and they will mock him and spit on him and flog him and kill him. And what Jesus is telling there is something that all the Jews of that day knew, what happened when the Romans executed someone. And so this was not new information, but it's just vivid information about what was going to happen. And it says, and then Jesus said, and after 3 days, he will rise. And in the next section, as we talk about James and John and the request of Jesus and the disciples' response, we're going to see again that the disciples are still learning about Jesus. They haven't quite figured out what's going on. They don't know what true greatness in God's kingdom is like. They're still learning. And what I'll do now is I'll read the next verses with James and John and their really very bold request to Jesus. Verse 35, and James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came up to him and said to him, Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you. And he said to them, What do you want me to do for you? And they said to him, Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your glory. And so, bottom line, James and John are asking for a position of honor when Jesus comes into his kingdom. And they perhaps are still thinking of him being a earthly Messiah, a political ruler, a king on a throne. And so they're asking for a special privilege when he ascends to that throne. And then Jesus said to them, You do not know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink or be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized? And here we find that Jesus is teaching them again that the way to greatness is going to be the way for him through the cross. And really, when we look at scripture, when Jesus refers to a cup, the Jews knew that cup could sometimes mean a cup of joy, but more often it meant the cup of judgment, drink the wine of God's wrath. And we look at the Old Testament and we find exactly what the Lord is saying there, because in Isaiah 51, the Lord is talking to his people. And verse 22, it says, Thus says the Lord your God, who pleads the cause of his people, Behold, I have taken from your hand the cup of staggering, the bowl of my wrath, that you shall drink no more. And I put it in the hands of your tormentors. And this is speaking to how God was going to punish his people and send them into exile, but then he was going to bring them back and take away that cup of wrath. And the other thought here going on in this passage back in Mark is Jesus also talks about baptism, and we've talked about baptism in this study. Literally, it means to be submerged or to go underwater. In the Old Testament, being underwater could be a picture of just a terrible disaster, a great calamity. And so specifically Job 22:11 says, and a flood of water covers you. And this is speaking of Job and in his terrible, terrible state of losing family and wealth and health. And when Jesus is talking then about cup and baptism, he is referring specifically to the cup of God's wrath that he is going to bear for our sin. And then he goes on and he says to them, or actually the disciples tell Jesus that they are able to drink from that cup. And really, they have no idea what that cup is because they just don't know. They perhaps are thinking that they're going to be able to support him as a political ruler and they'll do whatever they can or fight for him, but they don't know what that cup involves. And then Jesus answers and he said to them, the cup that I drink, you will drink. And with the baptism with which I'm baptized, you will be baptized. And we know that Jesus' followers will go as he does. They will serve as he does. They will suffer as he does. But we also know that only he could be the substitutionary atonement for our death. Only he could pay the price for our sins. And so whatever his disciples go through does not add to their salvation or earn their salvation. But as the Messiah went, so his disciples do too. And we're going to talk a little bit more about what that cup would mean for disciples and how God actually purifies us through our suffering and service. So So we find that they are going to drink a cup and they're going to be baptized. And then Jesus also in verse 40 tells them, but to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but is for those who for whom it's been prepared. And so God the Father is the one who's made that decision. And Jesus is saying it's not even mine to decide who has that honor. Verse 41, we find out the heart of the other 10 disciples, because it says, and when the 10 heard it, they began to be indignant at James and John. And so they also wanted greatness. They wanted to have honor and privilege in Jesus' kingdom. And so that's why they're angry with James and John for asking for that. So then Jesus needs to gather them together and teach them. And we've seen this three times now in the Gospel of Mark. Each time he tells them something about his suffering and death, then they don't understand. And then he needs to explain it in another way and help them come to a deeper understanding of something that is quite opposite from the way the world looks at things. Because in verse 42, Jesus called them to him and he said to them, you know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. And so he's just saying the way of the world, those with power and wealth and position and all of that dominate and rule and have other people serve them. In verse 43, it says, but it shall not be so among you. And so there's a huge contrast. The way of God's kingdom is the way of service and sacrifice and suffering, not the way of the world. And Jesus says, but whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And literally that means a voluntary house servant. And whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. And that word is truly slave. It means the one who serves under compulsion of all. And then in verse 45, we come really to the heart of Mark's gospel. Jesus says, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And so we find the purpose of why Jesus came. Jesus actually came to die. He came to die for our sins. And that was a totally of service and a giving of himself unto death so that we might have life. And when it says he gives his life as a ransom for many, that word ransom is a Greek word litron, which is used only twice in the New Testament, and here and then in the same account, which is in Matthew. And it really means the price of release of a slave or a captive. And with it, there's included the idea or concept of substitution. And so Jesus is saying, I'm going to pay the price for you as your substitute. And the for actually really in Greek means instead of or in the place of. So Jesus is saying, I'm going to be your substitute and pay the price you owe God for your sin so that you don't have to. And truly, as we consider this, what it means is Jesus bore God's wrath. He took our judgment upon himself. He drank the cup. He drank the cup first. We find in Luke that Jesus talks about how he's eager to drink the cup and distressed and anguished about it, but he's eager to go forward and do it. And so as followers of Jesus, we don't drink the cup of God's wrath, but we have another cup. We have another baptism, and that is the cup and baptism of service and sacrifices Jesus did, because he just told us what it means to be great in his kingdom. It means to empty yourself and give yourself totally to the Lord, to be surrendered to God's will and to serve others. This is just totally the opposite of the way the world would do it. And it's so completely opposite what our human nature would be, as we desire all those great things for ourselves, power and position and self-determination and having people serve us or give us things, rather than the opposite of us pouring ourselves out in service. And so we can see, I mean, as I consider this passage, how do we need to follow Jesus? Because this is not the natural human way. This is only something worked out in and through the Spirit. And so one other concept to just kind of teach through this passage is the understanding that that baptism is actually a baptism of fire. Jesus told us that several times in the New Testament. In our study guide, there's some passages related to that. But that fire is not a fire of judgment for believers. It's a purifying fire that takes away our sin. Or kind of works away at our sinful nature. Doesn't take away our sin because Jesus did that, but it changes us and it conforms us to the image of Christ, and it makes us humbly dependent upon God. And so as we cooperate with God and learn his word and obey what he says, he is working in and through us to make us more like Jesus, which is really the point of why Jesus came and why we're studying Mark.
Oh, and may we be transformed by his refining fire. Connie, thank you so much. Ladies, you can check out and share these podcasts and notes. You can get them at naomistable.com. Nancy and I will be back with more in just a moment.